things. I believe that God has a purpose for everything he does. God has a plan and he has a purpose for everything he does. And it's important that we realize what a privilege this is to hear God's word. I hadn't planned on that, but you know, the parts of the world, there are people that literally have to walk 10 miles or 20 miles, and they have to actually start days before the actual worship service, also the opportunity to worship, and they have to walk because they don't have transportation. They don't have bus, car, they don't have mopeds or anything like that. They've got their feet. Which reminds me that God has laid it on my heart. I'd like somebody to help with this. Shoes for pastors. I don't know if you've ever heard of that before. But there are people around the world that do not have shoes to wear. They actually preach barefoot. But this morning, there are people who actually travel great distances, and they go through a lot of circumstances to get this opportunity to hear God's word. There are people around the world that do not have Bibles this morning. And you know what they do? They get only segments of Bibles. They get pages. There's people documented actually have walked miles just for one page out of the book of John. And we've got multiple Bibles in our homes. But sometimes we don't read those that we have. Amen? Amen. So if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me. And I need your help this morning, okay? In the book of Samuel. The book of Samuel. Oh, thank you, Roman. Man, I needed that. I needed that. I need a drink from heaven today. Amen. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 9. Or chapter 10, I'm sorry. Chapter 10 and verse 1. If you want to stand for the reading of God's word, you can. If you're not able to stand, then you don't have to stand. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1. Now I want to say something. For those who have just been shyly glancing at your watch, I know you have. I'll corner your eyes. It's all right. God has it. I mean, every minute belongs to God. Every second belongs to God. Why are we sweating it? Every minute belongs to God. This is the Lord's day, right? Well, let me tell you an actual fact. They're all the Lord's days. God blesses you with all the other days to do all the crazy stuff that we do in our lives, the busy stuff in our lives. And he says, this is my day. I want you to rest, and I want you to hear my word, be fed, and be strengthened. So I know that you're looking to climb. You say, woo, most churches are already out and at the restaurant by now. Okay, don't sweat it. But that's not us. But I will. But I will say this. We are not going to sweat it. But at the same time, we're not just going to be rattling on. Okay? And hopefully the Holy Spirit, this is not a lengthy word. And he always changes it around. But that's okay. 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 1. Kathy, honestly, I need you to help me this morning. Come here and read this for me. She looked at me like, I need to read chapter 10 and verse 1. Can you see that? Okay, I hope you can see it better than I can.
Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance?
And I want you to go to verse 22. 17 through 22. Same chapter.
Then Samuel called the people together to the Lord at Mizpah and said to the children of Israel, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up, Israel, out of Egypt and delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all kingdoms and from those who oppressed you. But you have today rejected your God, who himself saved you from all your adversities and your tribulations. And you have said to him, no, set a king over us. Now therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your clans. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was chosen. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was chosen, and Saul, the son of Kish, was chosen. But when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further, "Has the man come here yet?" And the Lord answered, "There he is, hidden among the equipment."
Wow. Everybody say Saul. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I want to share another powerful word with you this morning in the book of Jeremiah. And you don't have to stand for this, okay? Book of Jeremiah. A powerful word, Jeremiah chapter 1. So if you're there, if you don't have a Bible, that's fine. You look on somebody else. Jeremiah chapter 1, there's two verses right here. Look at verse 4 and 5. The prophet Jeremiah is called, and this is a word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah saying, "Behold, I formed you in your womb. I knew you before you were born. I sanctified you. I ordained you as a prophet to the nations." Do you realize that every person in this room has a powerful purpose? To the little one that's in Joyce's arms, to the very least one that's in Chris and Bubby's arms this morning. We have purpose. We were born with powerful purpose in our life. I know you hear that a lot, but sometimes we forget that that's me, that's you, that the Lord is talking about. It's not just some old people in the Bible that we can't associate with or can't relate to. God has powerful kingdom purpose for everybody that he places on this earth. There are no accidents. I don't care how much you think your life was a biological mistake. You are not a mistake. You are a plan of God. Amen. You're a plan of God. Yes, you're a plan of God. I believe that totally. And he said, "Then I said, Ah, Lord, but I can't speak, for I'm a youth. But the Lord said to me, Don't worry about being a youth, for you shall go to whom I shall send you, and wherever I command you, you shall be speak. And don't be afraid of their faces, because I'll deliver you, says the Lord of hosts." Amen. Isn't that a powerful word? That God has placed in our life a powerful, powerful purpose. And I talked about Saul. Kathy was reading about the king who was later crowned and anointed Saul. And a lot of times when we hear about Saul, we hear about just the bad of Saul. Like he was the one that was jealous of David and tried to chase him with a javelin. He was the one that sought after David's life. You know, he was the one that messed up and disobeyed God. And when he should have destroyed all the enemy and even the livestock, he hid some for himself. And there where you hear the Lord say, it's better to obey the Lord than to sacrifice. We hear about Saul and we get this bad image of who Saul was. But yet Saul was God's anointed. Does everybody know that? Saul may have turned out bad. Maybe there were bad things in his life. But so was David. How many knows that God can have a purpose and plan, and we may not even be walking in that purpose and plan. But does that nullify the plan or purpose that God has for your life? Even though you have messed up, may I remind you that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. What God gave you and what God ordained you to walk in, that is God's intention for your life. There are people that may never walk in the purpose and the intention of God in their life. They may never walk or, you know, follow through with God's plan or purpose. And sometimes we got to understand this. If the devil cannot kill, and by the way, the devil can't kill you. The devil can't kill you because Jesus died on the cross, and that action of that cross defeated Satan right there. But it's the devil's job to make you think that he can kill you and that he can destroy you. But guess what? If you are about the purpose of God, nothing can stop the purpose and plan of God on your life. I don't don't care if you end up in prison. I don't care if you end up, listen, somewhere else. I don't care if you end up on a deserted island. If you're about the purpose and plan of God, God walks to and fro upon the earth, seeking those that he can show himself mighty toward. God seeks for those that will walk in the purpose that he has ordained for your life. You are destined to do mighty things in the kingdom of God. You've been called to do mighty things. Amen. How powerful that is. Sometimes we don't realize that. But we will see Saul himself. He's described here in Samuel as a man that he's all wrapped up in this incredible heritage that God has for him. He wasn't God's choice because God wanted to be their king. But the people around him wanted to keep up with the Joneses. They wanted to keep up with all the other clans. So they said, we don't want you just, God, to be our king. We want a king just like the rest of the nations got. So God said, well, you've chosen a man over me. But it didn't change the fact that the choice that they chose, that God chose, was still an anointed man. Because he was an anointed man. When David could have killed Saul, and when he was fleeing from him, as Saul was his enemy, trying to destroy him, understand this. Jesus, David said of himself, when he had the opportunity to take his sword at night and slip into a cave and take Saul's life, and he said this, do not lay hand on God's anointed. You see, God anointed Saul, and he called him up. And from a very young age, he was a man that was wrapped up in an incredible heritage. And there were 7 generations of Saul, a Saul's life that's traced back through history, that would tell us that success surrounded Saul, that God laid his hand and anointed a potentially successful man. He had lineage. He had the right pedigree. And the Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 1 and 2, listen to this, ladies, he was the most handsome man in all of the town or community or the country. He was the most handsome man. He stood ahead above everybody else. Actually, he was about 6'4", which made him a sight to look at. Plus, he was very handsome like Josh. He was very handsome like Josh. So you think about that. He had the height and he had the good looks. And when he walked by, I'd say all the women must have been checking him out. But you know what? Oh, come on, come on. The fact is, he was a handsome man. The Bible said that. You can read it for yourself. I'm not making this up. He was a handsome man. But more than that, he was ordained and anointed. You just read the scripture. God sent Samuel to lay hands upon him and anoint him. And his father's name was Kish. Kish, after his anointing, the Bible says that Kish's father had some donkeys that were prize donkeys, like our little donkeys over there in East Tennessee. Prize donkeys, and they got lost. And so he sent Saul looking for his donkeys. You got to realize that God had something greater than the task of looking for donkeys. And so he got all caught up in chasing his father's lost donkeys. Isn't it amazing? How many knows that's not a bad thing? That means yes, okay? How many knows it's not a bad thing doing a good deed? Even if you don't know the Lord, it's not a bad thing doing something good for somebody. Do you get that? It's not bad to visit somebody who's sick. It's not bad to bake a pie for somebody that needs a pie. It's not bad to give somebody clothes when they need clothes. So his purpose was to go find those, his thought and intention was to go find those donkeys. But the donkeys were lost. And it was a good deed. But it wasn't the purpose that God was after. Sometimes good can be the enemy of best. Sometimes we can spend our life chasing what is good when God says, I've got something that's better. I've got the best for you. How many knows that God's got something amazing, incredible for you? I know Jeremiah 29:11. Listen to me carefully. I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. A plans to give you a future and a hope. Amen. That's written on tattoos. That's written on jewelry. That's written in your heart. And I've always held on to that scripture. No matter how the enemy comes against me, I've held on to that scripture. I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord. It's a plan to give you a future and to give you a hope. How many knows that God is about your future, not just about right now. He's about your tomorrow. I want to be blessed into tomorrow, don't you? I don't need a temporary fix. I need a permanent relationship. I need something permanent in my life, something that's lasting. And God is looking for people that he has ordained purpose for. And here was Saul, the son of Kish, that was about to become a king, and he was out all day looking for donkeys. Oh, I remember the day that Jody and I went over in Tazewell looking for donkeys. And you know what? That was the direction of the Holy Spirit. But here was a future king that was doing a good deed for his dad, but that wasn't the ordained purpose for Saul. Because God had ordained him, had anointed him with oil. So I'm going to talk about this morning about something real quickly. It's called distractions. Everybody say distractions. We got to understand distraction is a serious thing. Distractions can be fatal. Every one of us every day deal with distractions in our life. You know what? We're fighting against distractions this morning in this worship service. Because the devil don't want us to be about it. You're a person of purpose and destiny. You think the devil wants you to be about that? Let me tell you something. I said a while ago, the devil, we know that the devil can't kill you. But guess what he can do close to it? Distract you. So today there are people in the kingdom of God who are distracted from their destiny. God has a powerful plan and purpose, but they're all caught up in their stuff. That when God's looking for them today, they're hiding behind their stuff. Let me tell you, Saul was a man when they went looking for him to crown him and you know, do the thing that they carried forth that they wanted to do to elevate him to the king. But he was nowhere to be found. Nobody couldn't find him. Where is he? Well, Saul, believe it or not, had the opportunity was before him to be anointed as a king, to be elevated, to be blessed, to be the king of Israel. But when they went to look for him to crown him as a king, he was nowhere to be found. He was hiding. How many knows that we can hide behind our stuff? Our stuff can distract us. You can hide from the purpose and plan of God. God has in your life. And it's not all the things that we think are bad. Yes, like drugs and alcohol and perverse sex and you know, illicit relationships and all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, things like that our lives can be about. Yes, those things can be a distraction. But distractions can also be good things. It's not necessarily bad, but it can be good. But God has a plan. Everybody say God has a plan. And I want you to listen here what the word distraction means. According to Webster, this is what it means, Roy. It's a drawing apart to create a distraction among us. That which diverts attention or a diversion or a state in which the attention is called in different ways. It causes confusion and perplexity. Why? Because people are not walking in their God-breathed, ordained purpose in this life. And you're settling, you're satisfied. As Jenny said, we settle for less when God says we can have more. God wants your life to be blessed. Do you realize that? Shannon, he wants you to be blessed more than you can stand. He wants you to be blessed so much that you can't even stand yourself. He wants you to be blessed so much that you will have to say, is this real? Am I really real? am I living in some sort of dream? That doesn't mean that you're going to have be problem free, but that means that you're going to be blessed. Because where God's favor and His blessing is, there is where we want to be. But listen, Saul was hiding behind his stuff. He was hiding. He was distracted by his stuff. And we got all kinds of stuff that distract us. We got all kinds of stuff that pull us away or lure us away from God's plan or purpose for our life. We really do. How many knows that you got distractions in your life? And whether you're honest or not, you're going to have to say that you're distracted in many times. When you try to do your devotion time with God, and there may be people here don't even know what that is. That means when you spend time with God, when you spend time in His Word, and by the way, those are two powerful things that will keep you focused in your life. And may I say something about focus? Focus is the opposite. It's the opposite of distraction. So to walk in the kingdom of God, you've got to be powerfully focused. You've got to keep your eyes on the prize. You've got to keep your eyes on Jesus. You can't turn to the left or turn to the right. You've got to keep your eye on the Lord. Because there are a lot of things alluring you, pulling you away, distracting you from the greatest thing that God wants you to walk in. And that's His powerful purpose. We must focus to keep ourselves from becoming distracted. Hello? Is anybody listening to me today? I'm not teaching Greek, I promise. I don't even know Greek. I'm not even teaching Hebrew. This is real stuff right here. Maybe it's the fact that sometimes we don't want to own it. Oh, not me. Oh, not me. It's her. She's the one distracted. But not me. Well, I've got it all together, Pastor. Look at me. I'm super Christian. Woo! You see that S on my chest? That means super Christian. No, you're not. We all mess up. We all get distracted. We all get out of focus. We all, listen, can find ourselves about all the things in life that we should, but we're not walking or maybe not continuing to walk in that powerful purpose. It's inevitable. It's an inevitable thing that we become distracted in life. But it's important to remember that we got to stay focused on God. Focused on His purpose and His plan for our life, not our plan. Distractions can be fatal. Distractions can be fatal. They can really be fatal. Listen, Kathy, in 1997, she was driving down Powell Valley, taking our little dog to a groomer. I don't even remember the name of the place, but she was driving, and she had a brand new vehicle. It was just a few months old. And as she was driving down the road, you know, the little dog, she had a window down here on the side. And the little dog was, you know, with his little foot raising the window up and down. Power window. You know, we had a dog that raised the window up and down. So the fact is, she got distracted by the little dog over in the other seat. And she started working and fiddling with the dog. There was a high shoulder that was close to her. She went off the shoulder and tried to overcorrect, which flipped the car 5 or 6 times down the highway. I was teaching in the middle school at that time, and I got this call to the office. Wow, this is a, and they didn't mean to, but that's wrong information to give to somebody real quickly. You know what I'm talking about. And so they said, your wife's been in a car accident, a bad car wreck. And so I went to pieces. I went to pieces. Have you ever been in a situation like that when you got some bad news before? Listen, I went to pieces, and here I thought everything. And some of my teachers just, you know, they covered everything. And then one of them or two of them took me down to the side of the wreck. And when I got down there, I saw the car all mashed and smashed and you know, and smoke going everywhere. And I ran up to the window, and there were policemen and emergency vehicles there all around. And I looked in, and I saw her all bloody. And I saw that airbag released. And, you know, she had the sunroof open. The little dog wasn't there, but we didn't even think about that at the time. But all I could think about how bad that this thing was. That accident was caused by a major distraction. How many knows that you can end up in the wrong place? In a place that you don't want to go or be in sometimes because somewhere along the way you got distracted in your journey. You got distracted in your purpose. God has a purpose for you. He has a plan for you. Start walking in His purpose, not doing your own thing. The person who, you know, is fooling with the... How many has ever been in a car battling a bumblebee or a bee or a fly before? How many knows that's a dangerous place to be distracted? That's a dangerous place in heavy traffic to be distracted fighting a bumblebee or fly. But they come in the window and we fight them. And I read about this story, illustration about this person who was fighting a bee and becomes so aggressive that the fly wouldn't leave. And so finally they just gently rolled over into the medium and over the other side, and a 70 mile an hour 18 wheeler hit that person. How many knows that you can die without living out your destiny and your purpose? You've got to understand that there is a God chasing you that His purpose might be fulfilled, but you can be so distracted that you miss the purpose and plan of God in your life. And how sad it would be to stand before a holy God and give an account of what we do. And God said, I have purpose for you. And you say, well, Lord, I got distracted. I got distracted. Distractions, now today they really stress this distraction thing to the max, because it's even against the law to use these things on the road anymore. But I'm going to tell you a story before it became the law. And sometimes I have to repent, I'll be honest with you, because I'm a busy guy, and sometimes I'll look at the text and sometimes I'll answer a call, but how many knows that's a distraction? And I was standing down at Hardy's and Coburn, and Josh knows what I'm talking about. I believe I was going to talk. Josh and I was going to go have breakfast or something down there, and I was meeting him down there, and I was sitting there answering texts on the phone, and there was a truck in front of me, and he was already stopped at the light. And I was so engrossed in the text that I let my foot off the brake, and I went boom right into the car in front of me. Just so happened he had a big gooseneck sticking out, and it saved his big work vehicle. But listen, it tore my car all to pieces. So how many knows that distractions can tear your life all to pieces? You don't plan on being distracted, but we are, because we're distracted on every angle, everything. You know, sometimes people have to, you know, say, excuse me, in the grocery store. I'm walking down the aisle, you know, texting like this, going 90 miles an hour. And then, you know, and then somebody comes along. Excuse me, because I almost run over top of them. How many has ever done that before? There's many things that distract us, but distractions can be fatal today. We got to understand that. Distractions can be fatal. God had a purpose and plan for Saul, but he was quickly hiding, quickly distracted and hiding behind his stuff. Hiding behind his stuff. God ordained you to walk on water. Do you know that? Every person here has been called to get out of your boat and walk on water. You say, I've never walked on water in yourself. This is what that means, that you have been called to do incredibly extraordinary exploits in the kingdom of God. You've been called to do things that will amaze you and amaze the people that your life touches. You've been called to walk on water. And Jesus told that night to Peter when he came walking in the middle of the storm. And they saw him and they thought he was a ghost. And then when they finally realized it was Jesus, Peter was the first one that said, Jesus, if that's you, bid me to come to you. Let me come to you. And Jesus said, come on, boy. No man had ever walked on water before. I'm talking about standing on top of the water. I'm not talking about walking on fish or rock under the water. I'm talking about walking on top of the water. Defying the law of gravity. How many knows when you put something heavy in the water, it sinks? But for that night, God wanted to show Peter a powerful lesson. that his life depended upon the one that he's focused on. Your life depends on the one you should be focused on, not the stuff going around you. What pulled us away are the things going around us. God's called this ministry to do great exploits, to do great things in the kingdom of God. And it's strange that he waits, that the enemy's timing is always about distracting us from the greater thing that God has called us to do. And that how we have been fighting the enemy for some time. For the last year, we've been fighting the enemy nonstop, because the enemy don't want anything to break loose. And he's constantly trying to lure us away, pull us aside, distract us with life and circumstances and problems and situations and people and fear and all kinds of things, trying to distract us from the greater purpose. But we know the plans that God has for us, says the Lord. Future and hope. And here Peter got out of the boat, walking on the water. Now, you got out of the boat a few weeks ago, didn't you, Bobby? Yes. And here Peter was. Said, well, can I stand up in this water? Whoa. But you see, he wasn't looking at the water when he stepped out. He was looking at the object of his focus, and that's Jesus. I'm saying today, who are you looking at? Who are you gazing at? Who are you following? Who are you looking to? Who do you find your strength from? Who do you get your help from? It's the Lord. It's the Lord. So he started walking on the water. Wow. Woo, this feels good, Jesus. Wow, am I doing this? Am I really walking on water? But then the winds came. Jesus, Saul wanted to know what was really in Peter's heart. He wants to know what's in our heart. And the truth is, he knows what's in our heart. But you know what? He was walking on the water. He was walking on the water. Then the storm came. Then the temptations came. Then the problems come. Then the winds begin to blow. Then the waves begin to slash upon him. Problems begin to overtake him. Oh, the lightning began to flash across the sky. The storm was violent and in a rage. And for just a second, Peter took his eyes. His focus changed from the one he admired to the problem that he was succumbing to. And when he looked at his problem, he looked at his struggle. Guess what Peter began to do? He began to sink in the waves. But immediately as he began to sink, he didn't go all the way under. But immediately when he began to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus reached down a hand and lifted him out of the violent waves. Listen, but you know how Peter got down and started sinking? When he took his eyes off the Lord. And there's some of you here today in this room today. Your focus isn't what it should be. You've got problems. You've got struggles. And we spend more of our time looking at the problems and struggles than the one who's the answer to our problems and our struggles. Don't you think that if God is for us, then nothing can be against you? I know we hear that and we teach that and we believe that. But sometimes we got to be reminded of that. What's distracting you today? What's luring you? What's pulling you away from your focus? What is drawing you away? What's keeping taking your eyes off the Lord? What's pulling your eyes away from the Lord? What is it that you're looking at instead of Jesus today? Are you lost in your stuff? Are you preoccupied? Are you distracted by your stuff and all the things that go around you? Are you more focused about your career? Are you more focused about your hobbies? Are you more focused about your family? God is all about the family. He ordained and anointed the family. And besides the love you have for the Lord, that's the greatest love in your life, is the love for your family. But how many know that you can't love any of it more than you can God? Amen? Because it's God that's blessed you with it all. Amen? We worship all kinds of things. Nobody should worship anything except God. We can all have things that distract us and pull us aside. They can be fatal. They can be fatal today. They can rob us. It's a great thief that robs us of our purpose and our destiny. So it's a thing that we need to remember. Something that pulls us aside. Something that pulls us aside. Something that keeps us from walking in the plan and purpose of God. And the enemy knows that. And he knows how to use things to keep us from being about the things that we need to be about in our life. How many knows that people can distract you? Not a lot of hands went up that time. Wrong relationships can distract you. If you're involved in a relationship that is self-centered or only relationship centered, guess what? And your person, it's like an example of a person, a young person, who's a virgin, who's never had out of marriage relationships with somebody in their life. And God has a purpose and plan, but yet they mess up. They mess up. How many of the people can mess up? Come on, get real. I'm trying to be real with you. I need you to be real with me. Can we not mess up? Come on, get used to it. Get used to it. You messed up. I messed up. Everybody's messed up. Oh, not me. I'm sanctimonious. You need Jesus. We've all been places we shouldn't have been. We've all been dabbling in things we shouldn't have been dabbling in. We've all had our minds on things we shouldn't have. We've all been looking at things we shouldn't have been looking at. We've all been doing things we shouldn't have been doing. But today it's time to get our eyes back on Jesus. So this young lady messes up. But what God can do there, he's all about the redemption part. He can take the person who has messed up and that person give their life to Christ and devote their life to Christ from that day forward, and it's just as awesome. Just as awesome. I know it's important to walk in holiness and stay pure before the Lord. It's important to walk before the Lord, to walk in holiness and stay pure before the Lord. But sometimes life is about distracting us and pulling us aside. You know, that young person who's promised her life to the Lord and they said, I'm going to wait till I get married and I'm going to promise myself. And then maybe they had messed up, but then they promised themselves again to the Lord, and then they're all right for 3 or 4 years by being chaste before the Lord. But then something goes wrong. A real handsome looking guy or a real beautiful girl, vice versa, walks by, and then suddenly, whoa, all that changes. How many knows it all can change? It all can change. Things can get in your way. Things can pull you aside. Things can distract you from the greater purpose of God. People can distract us. Sometimes it's from people that we love. Sometimes it's from people we love. Because sometimes people we love think they know always what's best for us. But how many knows we don't always know what's best for the other person? Focus, keeping our eyes on the vision and the purpose and plan that God has for us. Listen, one of the best ways that we can be about not letting people distract us, the quickest way from your destiny is to get into relationships with people who believe in the vision you believe in. Who believe in the purpose and plan of God over your life. If you're hanging with people who don't believe in the vision and the plan that God has for your life, guess what? You're hanging around with the wrong people. It doesn't mean you hate those people or you dislike those people. You love them and you pray for them. But how many knows that sometimes your friends can drag you down? You know, sometimes great athletes who go to college, go out of college to professional sports, there's a warning to young athletes who skip Sometimes they go out of high school, they skip college, and they go right into the pros. I've known great athletes who were given great amounts of money after their career, basketball, baseball, whatever. And they skip the formal training or the education, and they go right into the professional sport. And they get caught up in the money, and they get caught up in the fame. How many of us, if we can get caught up in the money, we can get caught up in the fame? Well, you know, we may not be millionaires here. We may not have, you know, people here with a lot of money and a lot of stuff like that. But we can get caught up in our own life. It doesn't necessarily have to be, it don't have to necessarily be money, but it can be fame. I like the notoriety. I like the recognition. I like the notoriety. I like the recognition. But don't allow anyone to talk you out of the dream that God has placed in your heart. Don't allow anybody to step into your life and rob you of the dream that God has placed in your heart. God has breathed a God-given dream into your life. And you know what your purpose and part of your purpose is? It's to seek that and follow after it and follow the Lord and walk after Him and live in the powerful purpose of God. Well, fear, worry, and anxiety can distract us. Come on, fear is a purpose stealer. If I can be transparent, in the last year I've been battling a lot of stuff against fear. Against fear. Your pastor, you got it all together, brother. I don't have it all together. Who told you that? Maybe it's the same enemy that's whispering in your ear, whispering in my ear. You reckon? Could it be? Could it be that we've reached this powerful place, this very appointed place in ministry, and we're on the threshold of great and mighty things in the kingdom of God? Could it be that God has placed a mantle of greatness and destiny in the hearts, not just you, but your children, their children, and their children? God has this, so it's not just about us. That's why we got to push forward. That's why we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. The devil wants you to look at the problems. Look at the one who solves the problems, amen. Look at the problem solver. Look at the one who walks on water. Look at the one who raises the dead. Look at the one that gives sight to the blind. Look at the one. Amen. Look at Him. Quit looking at your problems. Your problems are going to always be there, Josh. You say, I don't have any problems. Whoa. You want to share a few of mine? I'd be glad to sit down and give you a few of mine. Quit looking at your problems because they'll distract you. One of the greatest things you've got to be to have an athlete, especially in baseball, if you're a great hitter. Now, Leroy was the man. He knocked more out of the park up there, J.I. Burton, than probably just about anybody. You may have a record for that. I don't even know. And maybe somebody else, Reggie. Reggie's a baseball player. Who else is a baseball player in this family? Man, they're all athletes. Football players, baseball players. But you know what? I'll tell you one thing. They say the thing you've got to have is a great eye in hitting the ball. You know how you hit a fastball and a knuckleball and all those crazy balls they throw at you? You've got to have a powerful eye. When you step up the plate, you can't be all pretty and looking out at the crowd. Listen, you can't be at the plate for a big hit and depending on you and listening to all the cheers and saying, oh man, look at him. You can't be all about that. What you've got to be about is hitting the ball. And so when that ball comes down the pike, it comes from that mound at 90 plus miles an hour. You've got to have an eye that's focused on that ball. If it's focused on that ball, you're going to hit it like Pete Rose every time. But listen, if your eye is on the crowd, if your eye is on the people, if your eye is on the fear, if your eye is on the problems, if your eye is on something wrong that day, guess what? You're going to strike out every time. And today, God's calling us out of our distractions because He has an anointing He wants us to walk in. He wants an anointing that we can walk in. And if you're here today, God has powerful purpose for you. He has powerful purpose. Can I say this? And we're winding this down. Y'all been so gracious today. You've been so good. You've been so listening. You've been so focused. And you know what? That's powerful in ministry and the Word. Because guess what? The enemy don't want you to hear this Word. So when you have you looking at your cell phones on the side right there. If our lives are about that, you're going to miss what God's Word is for you today. God loved you enough that He sent an ordained Word to you today. A Word with purpose. It will not return void. Wherever God sends His Word, He'll accomplish wherever He sends it. Today, some of us in this room have been listening to the devil's smack talk. You got that, Becky? How many is what smack talk is? Give me another term for it. Synonym for it. Trash talk. How many's ever heard trash talk before? They just don't do it on the baseball field. They don't do it on the basketball court. I don't talk trash often, but when I do, I go for the jugular. Barack is known for his trash talk on the golf course. I don't know. I've never played golf with him. Probably never will. But guess what? I'm over it. I've never played golf with any president. But you know what? Smack talk is to distract you at that moment of intention and purpose. And if you're in the game, it's the other person, then intimidation of those words in your face. Like, you think you're going to play against me, boy? Listen, I play basketball, so I know all about the trash talk. I know all about the trash talk. I know all about that. It's not. I didn't give trash talk. I promise. I didn't give trash talk anybody. I didn't give smack talk. But let me tell you who the greatest smack talker of all. He's the devil. He's the devil. He's the devil. Every day you get up, he's trashing you. Every day you get up, he's trash talking you. Every day you get up, he's talking you down. Every day he's putting fear in your mind. Every day you get up and you're walking in purpose, the devil is trying to count you out, telling you you're no good, you messed up, you forget it, nothing will ever happen. Guess what? The devil is a liar. Somebody needs to be a witness right now. The devil is a liar. John 10:10, the devil came to kill, steal, and destroy. He's a liar and the father of all lies. He's never told you the truth, so stop listening to him now. When we walked up on that property from here, we carried a cross over 7 miles up there, and we stuck it in that ground. It's in the same place. God said he was going to do a great thing in people. We don't want a great building. We want a great work to be done for the Lord. We ain't about buildings. We're not about this and that. We're not about fancy gold and fancy this. We're not about that stuff. We're just about reaching people. That's the purpose and destiny God has for this ministry. Come on! Come on! Have you forgot God's plan? The devil been doing a lot of smack talk lately. He's a liar. And if he's trashing you, you quit listening to him. I believe I'll listen to my own preaching this morning. Every Every week somebody's trying to smack talk me. Every week somebody's trying to trash talk me. We don't know that we're all playing puppets. We're puppets in the devil's hands. Saying things. Speaking defeat over people. Cursing people. By the way, cursing and blessing can't come out of the same fountain. Let's rewind that. Cursing and blessing can't come out of the same fountain. You can't get both goods out of the same fountain. It's going to be blessings or cursings. Life or death. Don't allow anyone to steal your dream that God has planned for you. Some of you here today, there's a great distraction in your past. A great distraction from your past. Some of you today, it's hard for us to get past our past because we all have messed up in our past. We've all done things or had things done to us. We've all struggled with things in our past. But how many knows everyone in this room has a past? And because you may have done a few less bad things doesn't mean that you are any better than the other person who has done the worst. A murderer, a rapist, whatever, a serial killer. We've all messed up. Today God has a powerful plan. And he called him out. And this is where we're closing. They called Saul out. Saul, be the servant. No, just a servant. Well, you're going to get one of these one day, Shannon. I promise you, you're going to get one, and it won't be a little flimsy thing. You believe that, Josh? Wow, man. But you know what? Saul is going to be crowned the king, and we got to have a king. You got a powerful plan to walk in. God has made you a ruler, an authority, a leader in the nations today. He's ordained you a prophet to go forth and accomplish, do great and mighty things in the Lord. Shannon is real shy, so I'm really stretching him right here, and I'm not going to make him say anything. Saul, where are you? Come out, Saul. And somebody saw him among his stuff. And he came out from behind his equipment. He came out from behind all that stuff. He came out from all that stuff. He said, Saul, don't you know that we're ready to crown you? We're ready to bless you, Saul. Do you not know here in this room today that God's ready to bless you? Do you not know that God's ready to bless you here today? There's blessings you haven't walked in. There's blessings you haven't walked in yet. It's not all ending right here. It's not all about right now, this moment. There's greater things that's yet to come. Greater things yet to be done. God wants to do something great and mighty in your life. Oh, come on, Saul. We got this big day here. God's got a big day for you today. And it starts when you take your eyes off of your distractions and you get your eyes back on your focus. And your focus is Jesus. Amen. I said, he's your focus. I said, he's your focus. I said, he's your focus today. We got a work to do. We got a work to do. We got a work to do. Come up here, Nehemiah. If he could walk, he'd probably come up here. He's heard me before. Some of you don't know that. Nehemiah was God's builder. Nehemiah 6, 1 through 4. We're not going to go there. I don't want you to go there. If you want to jot it down there, Nehemiah was called to come back to Jerusalem to build a city that was completely destroyed, to reestablish worship place of worship, to reestablish a government, and to build a fortress around the city walls. Nehemiah's task was to rebuild those walls. So he rallied all the people that went back from exile with him to get on those walls, to start building, those walls up. It was a powerful thing because they did it in record speed. In 52 days, all the walls of Jerusalem was completed. You know why? Because nobody got down off the wall until the job was done. Isn't it amazing that when the going gets tough, the tough keep going? But sometimes when the going gets tough, others quit going. Are you a quitter or a winner? Are you a quitter or a winner? Boy, isn't that something? I had to about twist your arm to make you say that. 4 of Nehemiah's enemies from the surrounding countryside, Geshem, Sanballat, and others, came to that wall and they shouted up at Nehemiah, "Come down, Nehemiah. Let's talk about this thing." The devil's worried about this thing. I said the devil's worried about this thing. The devil's worried about this thing that God's doing in your life. He's worried about this thing in your life. You know what this thing is? It's a Jesus thing. Come on down, Nehemiah, from the walls. Come on down from the walls. Let's talk about this a little bit. Let's work out a deal. And they were in the valley in a place called Ono. Imagine that. Everybody say, "Oh no." Oh no. They were in a place called Ono. He said, "We're going to meet at Ono. We're going to meet at Ono. We're going to talk about this," Sanballat said to Nehemiah. But Nehemiah was a builder. And Nehemiah looked at his enemies there. He says, "Oh no, I won't go." Oh no, I won't go. 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 Because God, I am doing a mighty work for the Lord. Forgive me, I'm not jumping on anybody or walking any pews. I've never done that. But oh no, I won't come down. God's got a purpose in my life. God's got a plan for my life. And I'm going to see it through. I'm going to work while it's day. I'm going to work with everything in me. I'm going to hold a spear. I'm going to hold a trowel. I'm going to do whatever the Lord calls me. I'm going to walk in the purpose and plan of God. I'm not going to listen to the devil's lie. I'm not going to listen to his smack toss, his trash talk. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay on the wall. I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep doing the purpose and plan of God for my life. And that's who Nehemiah is. Nehemiah is not a quitter. I prophesy that over his life today. He's been called to do mighty things. He's been called to walk in the purpose and destiny of God. To lead men. To work and do a great and mighty work for the Lord. I may hold your right hand. And would you put it on your heart? Thank you, Carissa. Oh no, I won't go. Do you believe that? If you believe that, I want you to tell the devil that. Because it's the devil smack-talking you. It's the devil's been speaking lies into your ears. It's the devil's been trying to distract you. It's the devil that's been lying to you. So I want you with the fierceness of a lion, a hungry lion, to look in the eyes of your adversary right now and say, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I refuse to get down from the purpose of God. I will not go. I will not go. I will not listen to the lies of the devil. I will not listen to the lies of the enemy. Some of you hear the enemy's been lying to you about your family, about your children. They'll never find it. They'll never get it. They'll never get a hold of it. But the devil is a liar. Do you hear that? And sometimes when you're the closest to the blessing is when the devil's lying the most. Amen. When the devil's causing more confusion, it's at the closeness of great and mighty things. Oh no, I won't go. Right hand in the air. Oh no, I won't go. Come on. Oh Lord Jesus. Everybody's not getting it. Right hand. Oh no, I won't go. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Have you been distracted? Yes. How many honest people in here today? That don't mean if you don't raise your hand, I'm going to say you're not honest. But how many knows we've been distracted? Okay, keep your hand in the air. It won't fall off, I promise. Look around the room. Look at the honest people in the room. Take the pressure off of yourself. Look around the room. Look around the room. Look at all the people that say they sometimes get distracted in their faith. That's everybody. Lord, I charge these people today in the name of Jesus that every lion's mouth, every lying mouth against them be stopped in the name of Jesus. I command every device of the enemy to be extinguished right now. I pray in the name of Jesus that you strengthen their faith and give them courage right now to get their focus back on Jesus. Because Saul, we've got a work for you to do. How many knows that God's got a work for you to do? Amen. God's got a work for you to do. We're a generation of kings and priests. We've been called to serve God, to walk in the purpose of God, to do mighty things in the kingdom of God. Get out from behind your stuff today. Get out from behind your stuff. And today I'm going to ask you to do something. If you're here today and you've been distracted by the enemy, today it's time for you to tell him aggressively that he's tried to stop you for the last time. And I'm not saying he's going to try to come against you again, because we know that's not true. But I'll tell you one thing, you're going to be stronger. You'll be more focused. When the enemy starts distracting you, you're going to remember this. Oh no, I won't go. And if you're here today, I'm not going to ask you to bow your head. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, because today you know who you are. And I'm just going to simply say, when we stand, if you believe today, you need to be strengthened. If you're here today, you've never given your life to Jesus, it's time today that God has a purpose. Know that God has a purpose and plan for you. And today you can start walking in that purpose. Come and give your life to Christ. Come to the cross. Come to Jesus. Receive Christ. Receive salvation. Ask the Lord to come into your heart and forgive you. And he's faithful and just to forgive all those who ask him, if you ask it in faith and believe it. You can come. If you're here and you've been distracted and your mind has been everywhere where it shouldn't have been, your activities have been everywhere except where it should have been, it's time for you to come home. It's time for you to get back into the purpose of God. Sister Frieda, what a blessing you are today, my friend. What a blessing you are. God never gives up on us, doesn't he? Amen. He never gives up on us. I'm getting ready to stand you, to tell you to stand. And if you're here today, if you're here today, if you're here today, and you know that God has a plan and purpose for your life, when we get ready to stand, I want you to come forward and say, Pastor, I've been distracted. We're going to pray today that God strengthen you. You'll get your focus back on God, and that you become devoted to that purpose. That means you stay about the Word of God. You stay about the Word of God. You pray and you seek God and you listen to His Word. You come. Let's all stand to our feet. Come right now. Come right now, Lord. Come right now. Come right now. God's calling you right now. He's calling you from out behind your stuff right now. He's calling you right now. He's calling you. Come. 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 He's calling you. Listen, every hand in the building raised. Hand in the building raised. Oh, every hand in the building. I'm not asking you to come just because I say come. Come because there's an urgency in your spirit. Come because you know that life, problems, situations, people, fear, struggles have distracted you. Distracted you. Pulled you away, lured you away. The devil smack talked you, smash talked you. You can't, you can't, you can't. You'll never do it, you'll never do it. You'll never do it. You'll never do it. But you can, you can, you can. Somebody else come today. Somebody else come. Somebody else come. Somebody else come. God's speaking, God's calling, 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 the Spirit of God's calling, the Spirit's calling, the Bride's calling.